I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. On today's show, we are joined by a dear mate of How to Kill an Hour, Nick Bright. How's it going, man? You're right, Nick.
What's going on, Bronzy, mate? It's been a, as they say, a hot minute since I've been on the show.
It's been a hot few months, mate. Actually a cold few months because you've had a winter between you being on the show last summer. And last time you were on the show, Nick, I forgot to press record before we started the show. And I've not done that since until now. So Nick and I have spoken for about a minute and we've just had to pretend that we've not spoken for about a minute because I forgot to press record again.
This whole chat has been rehearsed. But I mean, to be honest with you, anyone that watches TV or whatever, it's all rehearsed and fake anyway. You know, when people do stuff off the cuff, it's never off the cuff. Sorry to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Except for like when there's animals, right? You might notice presenters get a slightly nervous look when animals are on screen because animals, however much you train them, still could just take a massive dump wherever they are. And I feel like that would be, I don't know, have you had anything, like I know you've not had like an animal dump on live TV, but have you ever had anything go like that? Crazy for you, Nick.
I've been quite lucky, actually. You know, I've never had to work with animals taking dumps live on TV. Sometimes co-presenters might, though, you know. the big question names. Is, you know, do they stand up or sit down? But, you know, we'll leave that for another time.
You know, I've still been getting people approaching me for that. In fact, I think that's one of the things on the show that's probably stuck out the most over the last few years. Not the tech conversation at all. It's whether you stand up or sit down when you go for a shit. And Nick, you were part of the conception of that, mate.
Yeah, the very beginning, I was there, you know, in my caveman outfit when it started, talking about it. And, you know, here we are. I can't even, that must have been about 3 years ago now, maybe even more.
Oh, fuck knows, mate. It was before lockdown, and that's just years ago for me. Do you know what I mean? So before we crack on with today's show, where are we at now with lockdown for you, bruv? How are you feeling?
To be honest with you, man, I'm pretty used to it now, you know. Yeah. Like at the start, people were like, oh, this is so difficult, like blah, blah, blah. I think the most difficult thing now is, you know, you just touched on it there. We've been through winter and for us in the southeast, because the UK kind of got divided into different parts, really, when Christmas came around and different areas had different restrictions. But for us, we've been kind of fully locked down since before Christmas, so we couldn't really see our families and stuff like that around Christmas time, which didn't, this is not what I'm saying, bothered me, no offense, mum and dad, but like you know, I can go without seeing my fam because, you know, nowadays there's so many ways you can speak to people and get in touch and blah blah blah, it's cool. But it's just the length of time that we've been in lockdown now, I'm just ready for you know, I'm not even really a big pub guy or anything like that, but I'm just ready to be able to go to places when I want to go there, you know?
100%. You know what? I am not a pub guy, but I'm a pub garden guy, Nick.
Yeah.
Summer's day in the UK, when you got those plus 20 degree temperatures out there. A nice cold beverage. Oh, mate, I love it. Because it reminds me of having good conversation and just being outside and having a laugh with your mates on a nice on a nice Saturday or Sunday. Do you know what I mean? But you better believe, Nick, when pubs are open again, right, I am finding a pub with a hotel room connected to it. And I'm going there early doors and I'm staying there till the thing closes. Because I'm like, I don't know how long this will last for. We might go into another lockdown. My mindset is if we're out of lockdown, how long till we're back into lockdown again? But anyway, look. I won't go on about that too much. Before we crack on with today's show, though, Nick, I just want to let you know I got an email a few days ago saying, "Hi, Marcus, how's it going? Hope all is well. I have some cool information that might interest you. Your podcast, How to Kill an Hour, has a good performance in some of the rankings over the last 30 days. I was like, oh, some rankings. Okay, cool. What rankings are these? Yeah, not all. I was like, rude. Disrespect. We are 37th most popular podcast in the technology section in Iceland.
Right. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Don's in Reykjavik are locked in right now. Come on.
Top 50 in Ukraine/Nigeria.
Why is it Ukraine/Nigeria? They're not even near each other.
I think they were just like the same stats. So right, he squashed them together. Yeah. I get his thinking though, because he didn't want to waste time with this email.
Aren't you half Nigerian?
I am. So am I taking this? Whoa, am I taking this?
Is this what I'm saying? Hold tight, all the man them in Abuja and in Lagos.
That's it, man.
Kiev as well, locked in.
You don't know, man. Shout out to all my uncles out there, and I might have some in the Ukraine as well. Who knows? We're top 100 in Hungary, Nick.
Yes,
in the technology category.
Budapest. I hear ya.
Oh, I want to go to Budapest. I've not gone. I've never gone.
I've never been either. Never. Cool. I'd love to go. It's meant to be an amazing... This is the thing about this pandemic, isn't it? There's like... It's made people and everybody realise how much they love travelling and how much they want to go to different places. And there's loads of places on my bucket list that I need to hit up, man.
Yeah, man. 100%, man. Yeah. And that's another thing. When we're allowed out, I am rinsing my passport, mate. So yeah, there you go. We're big out there, man. I think I was the most impressed with all of my Icelandic fans. Shout out to all of you as well, because I didn't know that we were big out there. In those low temperatures.
International. I mean, Reykjavik, it is pretty high up on the list of places I want to go to as well. This was before the pandemic, because I think a couple of years ago it was voted as the number one city to visit in the world, actually. So, I got to go.
What's Reykjavik got in it? What does it do?
Well, it's the whole of Iceland, really.
What does it do? Sorry, mate.
It's just a beautiful country. You've got like amazing waterfalls. You've got the geysers there. I know, right? The glaciers and the natural springs. So the hot, you know, like the hot pools that are just heated up by the earth.
Mm.
Like, I'm surprised all the kind of car filming and that you do these days, Mr. Top Gear out here. You know what I mean? I'm surprised you haven't been to Iceland to do any filming, because it's just like just a naturally beautiful backdrop and landscape.
We did Sweden. I did go to Oria in Sweden with Ford when we were doing I think it was like that Ford Edge or something, and it was, check this, Nick. It's cold, yeah? I thought I knew what cold was. Mm-hmm. Until I stepped into a minus 20 degree atmosphere. It felt, I've never experienced cold like this. And you know what the weird thing is? It didn't feel as cold as it does in the UK, because it was so dry, the cold out
right,
there.
Okay.
But it was fascinating to see things like people breathing into a mask and it freezing immediately, or somebody's eye watering a little bit because a wind chill hit it, and then their eyelashes having icicles on them like within seconds. It was insane. They had special drones flying around, like big DJI professional drones, not like the ones that we fly around for fun. And one of them just started flying off in the wrong direction because it was just like, nah, mate, too cold. It was like it was trying to look for a warmer environment. That's absolutely ridiculous. What,
just this random drone flying around was like, nah, it's too cold, mate. Yeah, I'm out of here.
Just like not having it. We tried to put our DJI drone up in the air and it was like minus 20. Warning signs are like, meh, 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 meh. Stop this. So you're like, all right, cool. Take it down. It's insane. And also in Sweden, at that time of year when we're there, it was sun up at about sunrise. It was about 9:30 a.m. I think. And then by about 2 p.m, it would, that dusk was forthcoming and it was dark at 4. Very, very fascinating to just be in a country where it's dark for that amount of time as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In the Arctic Circle in the summer, innit, it doesn't get dark.
Yeah.
You know, it stays light for the whole, for the whole day. It's really bizarre, you know.
And then the opposite in winter, right?
Yeah, in the winter, it's just dark all the time.
Yeah, mad. I can only imagine what that's like. But yeah, anyway, before we crack on with what's happening in the world of tech, Nick, I'd like to ask how everyone's been killing time. How you been killing time recently, Nick? Because I've got loads of stuff to tell you about.
Mine is not exciting, so I'm sorry for everybody who was expecting like a really, really exciting story, but I've just moved house a month ago.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not exciting to listen to, is what I mean. It's exciting for me, but yeah, I've just moved house, so like, just sorting. You know, when you move house, it's just endless sorting of stuff. It's like when you start packing up the place where you used to live, you're like, oh, why have I got all this crap? I'm gonna throw some of this crap away. And then when you move into the place that you moved to, you're like, why did I bring this crap with me? I'm gonna throw some of this crap away. And it's just like, and then at the end of it all, you're still like bombarded with crap.
Yeah.
And it's just, it makes you realize actually how, as humans, I think naturally we're all quite hoardish, and we could actually do a lot more to kind of cleanse and get rid of a lot of stuff that we have, because I've been here now for, I think, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. And there's like bare boxes here that I haven't even opened, and I don't even know what's in them, and I don't even miss it, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
I just think to myself, should I just pick up this box and just take it down the tip without even looking in it? Because it's the minute you look in it and you're like, oh, but you know, I might need that, I might use that, blah blah blah. You that's how the ruthless streak ends up dying in you.
It comes, you know what, I'm lucky I've got the studio space here to kind of scratch my I might need this little techie thing itch, right? But at home, Nick, my worst crime for hoarding is, because I'm pretty good at like, just look, don't need it, throw it away. If it's an important thing, I can scan it. If it's a letter, scan it and have it online in the cloud or whatever. Or if it's something that I like need, I want to have it now, or I just get rid of it. But one thing I hoard is leads, Nick. Leads. I'm like, I might need that half a meter HDMI lead that came for free with this. I might need this little jack converter. This is in my yard, bro. I've got a box. You know how you have like that drawer full of stuff in your house. Yeah. I got a box full of leads, and I swear to God, it's got like SCART leads in it and stuff like that. You remember SCART?
Yeah.
I used to plug
the chunkiest, like maddest style of lead that just will never get used anymore. What, you're still keeping those?
Still got SCART, mate. I've got a SCART extender and a SCART hub. So you know, like when you can plug like a four-way extension into your usual plug at home for electricity, I got one for SCART, you know, multiple SCART inputs. And I look at it, I'm like, you're never going to use this. But I'm like, in some part of my mind, I'm like, one day I'm going to come across an archive tape of like Michael Jordan when he was like 10 years old or something like that. And everyone will be like, huh, have you got anything that can play this? And I might have like my old little VCR from somewhere and my SCART lead that I can connect into my TV and watch it. But then really, I'm not going to need for it. But yeah, maybe I should get rid of it. Maybe I'll do that, Nick.
You're going to be one of those, like, you know, in 20 years time, one of those retro guys who's absolutely laughing though, because you've got all this retro tech that's worth big dough.
Shot in SCART adapters for 150 quid a pop. I'd be rich.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it'd be worth it. You know, they'll be like antiques.
Are you doing lots of building at the moment, of furniture?
Haven't done loads yet because we need to get actual building work done in the place. So them lot are coming this week to do some actual building work. And then after like everything's set up, that's when it becomes king of the flat packs, you know.
Yes.
You have to start doing all that. I've done a little bit, but nowhere near as much as what I'll need to do. I already know that, but I'll tell you a secret that's not very secret, you know, because I used to work in Homebase when I was at college, and which is a DIY store basically, and it sells furniture.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I actually love building flat pack furniture, so I'm here for it.
I feel like you are the kind of guy that you've got an outfit, like you've got a special pair of jeans that you put on, you've got your building t-shirt, and of course, Nick, this ain't the first time that we've said this on a podcast, you have the pencil, Nick, and what do we do with that pencil?
Bang it behind your ear, bro. Put that pencil behind your ear, look like you know what you're doing.
Yes.
But definitely not jeans. They're so restrictive. When you can't wear jeans when I'm doing flat pack. I've got a special pair of tracky bees that I just bang on. Got to be comfortable when you're in the flat pack zone.
I hear that, man. So you enjoy the flat pack, but have you got an electric drill? Because I feel, not drill, an electric screwdriver, because I feel like screwdrivers, doing them manually, that's not fun. But if you've got an electric screwdriver, you're just like...
I did. I didn't have one, and then before I moved here, I bought one. Bosch cordless one.
Cordless so too. Yeah.
Because you know you don't want to be all you know tethered to a plug socket and that. I bought one of those, and to be honest with you, it did make. I had to move my wardrobes from the previous place, and these wardrobes are massive, and it made kind of putting them back up a lot easier.
Nice. All right, mate. Well, listen, wish you all the best of luck with getting everything sorted at your house, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you very much.
Forward to having a look
bro.
At it if we're ever allowed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In the future.
Yeah. Anyway, the way I've been killing time, I've been doing loads, Nick. We, a couple of episodes back, myself and Kay Curd tried out the new Apple Watch. And you know what? Like, I think we gave a really big description about all of the features and how cool it is. But what's interesting is Apple are doing something that I thought that they would be doing a little bit earlier than they have, but they're doing it well. So I don't know if you've seen this, Nick, but they've kind of added this whole Apple Fitness section, which is like this digital workout classes, kind of like similar to Peloton. You'd jump on your bike and you'd like watch different classes. With Apple Fitness, they've got a bunch of trainers film them doing workout routines, and you can watch them on your Apple devices. Have you seen them, Nick, or not?
I have not. Explained to me.
So it's just basically you go onto the fitness app. It's a subscription thing. You pay for a year or a month, and they've got a bunch of workouts. So you could do a bit of yoga, Nick. You can do some stretching. You can do some cardio. You can do some weightlifting. And it's just got a range of exercises, but it's all created by Apple for Apple customers to watch on their devices. So we had a full chat about it. But what I've noticed, they've started adding little bits in. So I use the activity tracker called the workout app. And they've just started adding little things in, like they've got this little time to walk section. And every time I go on it, they just keep adding on these little kind of interviews. So they've actually created their own podcasts, slapped them into the Apple Fitness app. And when you're just going for walks, you can just listen to podcasts from the likes of Dolly Parton, Bubba Wallace, Ibram X, like loads of like artists or sports people. It's kind of like, I'm finding it fascinating that Apple's kind of moving in that direction where they're actually creating content. And I feel like it's definitely for people in lockdown. Like I feel like this has spurred it. They've gone, right, this is the time to keep people in the ecosystem. So yeah, I've been doing that, man. So that's been quite interesting to hear like Dolly Parton's thoughts on life while you're going for a walk for 30 minutes. Plus they bang a couple of tunes in there. Can't lie, I'm not really the biggest Dolly Parton fan. She's a legend and all that. Don't before anyone comes for me. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
It depends if you're walking 9 or 5 miles. Didn't work as well. Nine to five. Oh, come on. Well, it could have been better. Or if you're going to link Jolene.
Oh, there you go.
I'm out of Dolly Parton songs now, though. I'm not going to lie.
But
do you know what? It's been so long since I had an Apple Watch. So I used to have one back in the day. I think mine might have even been first generation. And then my house got broken into and it got stolen. But anyway, like it, they've changed so much since I had them, since I had one, because when I had it, it was massively reliant on your phone. If you didn't have your phone on you, the watch was essentially just a watch. That's all it could do. Whereas now they're self-sufficient, aren't they? You can do so much even if you don't have your phone.
Yeah, man. So it's cellular. So I've got this. You can buy a cellular edition if you want. I've got the cellular one. Yeah, man. If you've got a digital SIM card hooked up to it for a few extra bob a month on your price plan, your watch can work independently from your phone, which means it's cool if you go for a run, because you can like download. You can do it offline as well, but you can have like music on your watch that you listen to. So you can literally just leave your phone, go for a run, be free, be away from people. And if somebody does call you, yeah, you can answer it on your phone. And yeah, I mean, like, I think what Apple are doing with all their products is they're kind of just focusing on keeping you in the ecosystem. And with the watch, it was one of those things where I was very much like, oh, what's the point? I've got the phone. It's going to do the same thing. But when it's, once you slap it on, just little things, like I've said this a million times on the pod, just opening my laptop, Nick, I don't have to put in a password when my watch is on and unlocked on my wrist. So when I forget to put my watch on, or my watch is in the other room or something like that, and I have to put in my password, I'm like, ugh, yeah, this takes, ugh, this is ages. Ugh. Like, do you know what I mean? And Apple have made a big thing about health and fitness. And I think mental fitness and physical fitness is super important during lockdown as well. So the fact that they've added in loads of extra fitness tracker stuff, there's fall detection, all the kind of stuff that I've spoken about in a podcast a few episodes back, so I won't go over it again, is just like nice. And I just, it's just good to see them using their Apple Weight to pull someone in like Dolly Parton for an interview. Because I feel like, with all due respect, you know, we've had legends on the show, like, you know, man, like Jazzy Jeff and that. But if I wanted to listen to a Dolly Parton interview, there's not many people that could really get them talking. Do you know what I mean? So I think Apple should use their weight in the game to get some amazing people onto their... I mean, they could make the best podcast. If Apple called Obama, he'd be there for that conversation, wouldn't he?
100%. 100%. Yeah, you know, when they launched Beats One, which is now Apple Music One, isn't it?
Yeah.
When they launched that, you know, they got Drake doing shows, Elton John doing shows, you know, like probably more. I mean, I haven't delved too much into Beats or / Apple Music One, but they can get pretty much whoever they want to do shows. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Missing a trick there, Apple, if you're listening. Me and Nick Bright, Bosch.
Yeah, just get us to do shows. You know, Barack Obama, How to Kill an Hour, you know, same thing.
Standard. On Netflix, I've also been watching Behind Her Eyes. It's currently, as we're recording this, Nick, start of March 2021. It is the number one show on Netflix at the moment.
I've seen bare people talking about this, you know. Ooh. It's on, again, because we're in lockdown and there's so many things kind of that you need to get through / do. This is on the list.
I won't spoil it for you then, right? This is going to be a spoiler-free review, right? Watched it. It's definitely a bit more me than I thought it would be. If you know what kind of stuff I'm into, then, you know, it might rub you up the right way. You might get what I'm saying. But I called it, Nick. I called it. You know, have you ever watched a show and you're like halfway through and you're like, oh, I bet that's happening.
I do that all the time.
How good does it feel when you get it right?
I don't know why I do it as well. Like, I'll be watching a show and I'll be like, nah, he ain't the killer because blah, blah, blah. She's the killer. Like, because they're making you want to think that he's the killer.
Exactly. Stupid. What's sick about that though is if you get it wrong, people don't have to remember it. You can just, oh, you know, it's just a little guess. But when you're right, you're like, by the way.
It's the same as when, you know, if you're watching football and it goes to penalties or whatever, and you're like, he's going to miss. If he scores, it's just like, oh, well. If he misses, you're like, I told you. See, I told everybody.
Told you he's going to go bottom left and miss. Told you. The more specific you are in that situation, it's amazing when you're right. But yeah, no, I literally called it halfway. I was like, oh, I bet this is going on. And then I sent a message to a couple of mates and was like, I bet this is happening. And they were very good. They didn't say anything. And then when it, at the end, I was like, I freaking knew it. But yeah, man, it's an interesting watch. It's something that's got the kind of thrillingness that you get out of US dramas, but it's based in the UK, man. It's pretty cool. Nice show. Check that out.
I see Netflix do that quite a bit, don't they? They have these kind of UK dramas which feel like US dramas. What was the one that came out like last year and it felt like it was filmed like in Manchester and that, but it felt mad like American. That's really going to bug me. I can't remember.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
We're not going to remember. It was like a murder mystery vibe. Anyway,
I'm terrible with stuff like this, bruv. Was it the one in like, was it the one sent in the '90s? White Lines.
No. But that as well.
Yeah.
Because Kel Spellman was in that. Yeah. The Stranger is the one that I'm talking
about. Oh, yes.
The Stranger. That kind of felt mad American, but obviously everybody in it was British and it was filmed in Stockport, just outside Manchester. A lot of it was filmed around there.
Yeah.
And that's a good, if you haven't seen that yet, I mean, it's been a while. You should have by now, but if not, bang it on.
Yeah, it's a good one. That was a good one. Do you think they just, the cameramen are like, it looks too UK and grainy, it looks too EastEnders, so let's just add more sunlight.
Yeah, but that's one of the things I noticed about The Stranger, actually, the colour grading on, not to get too boring and technical, because when it comes to stuff like that, I really don't know too much of what I'm talking about, but the colour grading on the show just looked different to what, maybe it's just because as a Brit we're used to EastEnders kind of grey looking,
which grey is people.
should say that is reflective of society a lot of the time, because in the UK, as I look out the window right now, it's grey. It's not miserable today, but it's just grey, like the sky is grey.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, but I noticed like the greens of the grass were like, it looked like kind of like a Desperate Housewives vibe, you know what I mean?
Where
the grass is really green and the sky is really blue. Oh, vivid.
You might like, you're gonna like Behind Our Eyes then, Nick. You're gonna like it, you know. You're gonna like it. All right, interesting. So I've been killing some time with that, mate. Called it. I look forward to hearing everyone guess about that on Twitter. Don't look at the hashtags on Twitter, Nick, because there's bare spoilers on there, mate.
I know, this is the thing about social media now, mate, you know,
it's insane. Speaking of streaming, right, I've been doing some digging around because I'm a bit of a nerd for stats and stuff, but do you know Disney Plus launched about a year ago, right? They are kicking the fucking shit out of it when it comes to streaming. I got sent some stats, like I'm a bit of a nerd, so I get sent like stats for like streaming, like who's doing well. And I had a look at this, and this is the market share for streaming, and this is crazy. And the reason I'm bringing this up with you, Nick, I should bring up with Funk, because he called this when we spoke about Disney Plus. He said Disney Plus would be absolutely kicking ass, right, in the streaming wars once they start pulling all the things like Avengers back and releasing back catalog stuff. So as it stands in 2021 at the start, right, when I'm looking at a pie chart of all the big streaming companies, right, Apple TV 3%, right,
Apple TV struggled, didn't they,
struggling, mate. Yeah. Netflix 31%. Okay, cool, right, nice. Third in the market, it's not bad, moving around. Prime 22%, all right. Disney Plus 13%, but Hulu 14%. And what people don't know, Disney owns Hulu. So they're coming up at 30% within a year of being out. They've managed to just come and absolutely smash this market to pieces, mate.
Yeah, do you know what? It's weird, because when Disney Plus launched, I remember there was a lot of noise around like, oh, we've already got Amazon, we've already got Netflix, I'm already paying for Now TV, you know, how many things can I pay for, blah, blah. But gradually, people have just gone, oh, you know what, I'm just going to buy it as well.
I know people that were like, no, you know what, forget this, man. Why am I going to get Disney for what? To watch The Jungle Book? Oh, whatever, mate. And now, I feel like, with things like WandaVision and stuff like that, people are like, yeah, no, I need to get my Disney Plus. I need my Marvel fix, mate.
The thing is, right, a lot of that will be people in our generation and above who only see and remember Disney as, you know, cartoons and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, you don't necessarily, I mean, we know that Disney and Marvel, you know, a hand in hand, Star Wars as well, right?
Yep.
We know all that stuff, but you kind of just forget it, because when you say Disney, you think, you know, Mickey Mouse or whatever. But actually, there's so much, you know, content and big franchises that Disney own, that actually when you deep it, it's no surprise to me that Disney Plus is starting to grow, because, you know, just for that Marvel stuff alone, it's that right there is such a asset for Disney to have.
It's insane. It's insane. And also, they, like you said, Nick, they own so much. You forget, like you know, obviously that Marvel, right? That's one arm that they've got, right? But then you think about like Fox, that's like all of the Simpsons, all that kind of, all the Fox TV shows. And now I think with Disney, their biggest, their problem was, is they want to stay family friendly and clean. So they can't put, like, for example, it's hard for them to market things like Deadpool, which is a Marvel film, but it's proper not for kids. But they've now got this whole Stars section that they've opened up, and it's basically adult content. So on my Disney Plus, I can set a password. So if you want to go into Stars content, you put in like my password, 1234, whatever, and then you can access all of this adult stuff. So now that they can kind of be proud about their adult content and stay Disney, and they've got Hulu running on the side as well. Funk Butcher called it, and in my head I was like, nah, no one's going to knock Netflix off the top spot. But the fact that Disney have done that within a year just shows like they are not messing around. Like, just think about it. Think about, you're a businessman in whatever industry, and somebody opens up a shop this time last year, and by 2021 they're taking a third of sales or a third of the audience in it. It's crazy, man.
That is, yeah, that's, they're patting each other on the backs, rubbing their hands together, looking for a big bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
They've smashed it since launch.
Yeah.
Like I said, I remember people saying that they think it was going to be a flop.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I don't know, man, a company like Disney, are they really going to flop? But then, you know, like we said, Apple haven't managed to do as well with their streaming service yet, but I wouldn't put it past Apple to be able to pull something out of the bag, that's for sure, because you know, if one company can, and a company that have got a lot of
all the monies,
a lot of money in the bank, then Apple can do something as well. And look, at the end of the day, from a consumer's point of view, the first thing that we do is we like to complain. We like to go, oh, you know, I don't want to have to pay for Netflix and Amazon and Disney Plus and Apple TV and blah, blah, blah. But actually, what it does is it increases competition, and competition is only good for the consumer.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll give Sky TV as an example, which is a terrestrial satellite TV provider in the UK. Like, when Sky had the monopoly on the football, sorry to keep using football, but it's massive in this country. But when Sky had the monopoly on the football, it's like, you know, there was no competition for them. They were just laughing. It's like, we can charge what we want. Now, Amazon are getting some rights for the football. BT Sport, which is another provider over here, have got some rights for the football. And now people are having to think different, having to, you know, offer you something a little bit different. So as a consumer, in my opinion, it's only good that all these streaming services are coming out.
100%. And if you look at the content now that you have, using Sky as an example, right? Their content now is way better. Like, when you look at the shows that they have available, I'm like, nah, you guys have, like, Sky Atlantic's got shows that are really good. Or they'll notice, they'll dig into HBO stuff that's doing well and make sure that they provide that over here. And like, like you said, competition's a one. I tell you what, I love my sci-fi stuff, right? Amazon Prime have cornered that sci-fi market, mate. They've got so much sci-fi content. And I was like, what, why have they got this? But I reckon they realize that there's this massive sort of need for sci-fi content, and they've just started creating in that area. And I think, like you said, if we only had Netflix, if we only had Hulu, if we only had Disney Plus, only had Sky, whatever, there's going to be no variation, no competition. So it just means better content for us. So I'm here. I'm here for the competition, bruv.
You know, you as a consumer, you only win Uber and black cabs in London. You know, you're just looking for, as a consumer, the cheapest alternative, you know, flights, you know, cheap flights and stuff. Now, back in the day when I was, you know, growing up, it was like BA had everything. Now, like Ryanair and EasyJet come out, we like to moan about them. But then when you're booking your next motive, it's like, yeah, so how much is the Ryanair flight? You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying, you know.
I've noticed that, like, whenever I go on stag dues, or when I used to go on stag dues before lockdown, it was always like two parts of the group. It was the ones that were like, I'm going to use my air miles that I collected through work. And then the other group that were like, yeah, so on Ryanair, you can only have one rucksack, so I'm going to bring one pair of socks and a pair of boxes and just make it last.
Do you know what I miss? What's mad is I even miss that about travel now. I even miss the hacks to try and get round the mad rules that they've got about what you can take on the flipping plane. You know, you can only take a bag that is like an L shape. It's like Tetris.
Yeah, you have to put it in the little cage thing.
Flipping. I even missed that.
Oh, man, that's the one, man. That is the one. So, yeah, that's what's happening in the streaming world. Speaking about competition in the market, so obviously electric cars have been a super big talking point across the world. And I feel like I'm about to talk about a Ford vehicle, but Tesla's definitely changed the game, man, like in terms of electric vehicles. I feel like they've now, with the whole supercharger network and just showing that there's a lot of interest for electric vehicles and kind of creating the infrastructure for people to have electric cars and use them day to day, they've kind of given the rest of the industry a proper boot up the arse to come up with their electric vehicles. There's been a few offerings here and there, Nick. Some of them have been okay. Some of them have been not so okay. But in 2019, I was about to say last year, time, all right, Corona's messed up my timings. But end of 2019, they told us that they were going to launch this new electric vehicle. Ford told us they're going to launch this new electric vehicle. It was going to be an SUV. It was going to be a Mustang. And it was going to be electric. So I was like, oh, all right. You're going to make an SUV Mustang electric. I'm used to driving, like, you know, these V8 things around. And then they actually took us out to LA and they hooked us up with, we actually got to meet Bill Ford, actually. Like,
you know, hold on, you went to LA?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You didn't see this trip, Nick.
Where was the invite for that one? You know, like, when we're in lockdown, man like Marcus is like, oh, yeah, come on the pod, Nick. Come on the pod. Where's the invite to go to LA?
Oh, brother, it was only one space, and unfortunately, I think you were busy at the time. I think you had commitments.
Yeah,
man, funny commitments. That. But I was free.
Marcus has been on all these amazing trips, you know. All these, like, I see the videos.
I took you to Thorpe Park, Nick. That time,
was about
remember?
5 years ago. Marcus puts up all these videos, like, in amazing places, drone shots of all this course, and I'm like, yeah, man, when are we gonna get a work trip? Where's the holler?
It's coming, Nick. Thank lockdown's giving me the excuse. Yeah, Nick, after lockdown, don't worry, bruv. I've got you, man. I've got you, bruv.
Marcus will just disappear. won't hear from him for months. But anyway, sorry, I butted in on your story. You went to LA.
Oh, that was it, yeah. So we went there for the launch of the Mustang Mach-E. So, yeah, Idris Elba dropped in there. He helped her launch it. And Ford wanted to make an impression on the world with their first electric offering. They promised a car that was going to be a fun drive. It was going to be a Ford drive. It was going to be a Mustang drive, but it was also going to be electric as well. Now, it's finally in production. You can order yours and get yours at the end of this year. So they gave us the opportunity to have a drive in one, Nick. I mean, what do you want me to tell you about my driving electric car? I don't know where you are with electric cars at the moment, Nick. I know you're aware of them, but like, where do you want me to start? Because there's quite a bit you can talk about of electric cars, but then some of it is a bit more relevant than others.
So for me, to be honest with you, when it comes to electric cars, it's all about the range.
Okay.
Right? Until electric, and I know they're getting better, and maybe you can shed some light on this, but until electric cars can increase the range, and I know this comes down to battery capacity more than anything else and the technology that's available when it comes to batteries, but until they can beat the issues with range, they won't be as successful, anywhere near as successful as traditional petrol or diesel cars. And that is because, in my opinion, in America, a 3-hour drive daily is normal, like as a commute, you know, for people going to work. People will drive 3 hours each, you know, 3 hours one way and then 3 hours back. And that's fully acceptable and normal. So until they can, I don't know, appeal to the American market, I feel like it's always going to be difficult.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think a big thing about that was that supercharger network that they've got out there, right? Which is, how do you charge your car? Because you know that feeling you get when you drive, when you have your mobile phone, and batteries are better now, but you know that feeling when your phone battery's under 20%? Yeah. It's not nice, is it?
That would be even worse in a car. Can you imagine? I'd be sweating, you know?
Exactly, 100%. So what they've got, I'll tell you the range. It's a bit of a weird, not a weird one. It's I'm going to try and say this clearly. If I mix this up, Nick, or I don't make sense, let me know and I'll go again, right? So there's two versions of the Mach-E, right? There's the all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, and then there's the rear-wheel drive. And in those two flavors of car, there's an extended range and a standard range. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool, wicked. Right, so when it comes to mileage, the all-wheel drive has a slightly lower range of mileage, but the rear-wheel drive has a longer range, right? Cool, I'll explain why in a second, right? So if you got the all-wheel drive and got that at the standard range, that's 248 miles.
Okay.
If you got the rear wheel drive and got it with the extended range, you can get up to 379 miles per charge. Now,
right, okay.
That kind of range, obviously we know when you get an optimum range from any car company, they put a little bit of, you know, optimum conditional tax on it, shall we say. So it's going to be slightly less. But 379 on a single charge, that's the kind of, that's what I want to see on the dashboard when I've fully charged my car. When I've fully filled up my car for petrol, It's got about 350 on the clock at the moment. So 379, that's the kind of number that I'm happy with. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I get think, what I think, you, yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, I think that the issue is, like, if you have 300 and something miles on your dashboard with a petrol or diesel car. If you're driving from, I can only use the UK as an example here, but if you're driving from Southampton to Inverness, right, in Scotland, it's a long way. I don't know how many miles it is off the top of my head, but I kind of feel like it might be more than 300, maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe you can Google it while I'm talking rubbish. But like, if you do need to refill, you can stop and just refill. And it's cut, and it takes, what, 5 minutes, if that?
Yeah.
Whereas if you need to stop and recharge, even on a fast charger, what is the, because I don't know this, maybe you know, even on the kind of like express superchargers that you see in some places, what's the shortest possible amount of time that you need to be stopped for?
Southampton to Inverness, 584 miles.
It's a long way.
Yeah, let's just call it 600 miles, right? So that's two full charges. And that's, do you know what? You've actually made a really good point when it comes to charge times. That's super, super important with your vehicle. Like, so what's an interesting thing with electric vehicles is that they are fast chargers, right? So there are charge points that means you can fast charge your car. So for this vehicle, for example, the Mach-E, it can charge up to 150 kilowatts per hour. I'm going to talk about timings for chargings in a second because it all gets a bit funky. But what you need is, it's kind of like at the moment with electric, and this is across most networks for electric charging, it's like going to a petrol station and it having fuel. It's how fast you can get that fuel into your car.
Exactly.
So, yeah, exactly. So like 7 kilowatt chargers are the ones you usually just see on the road. Those are the ones that you see when you charge up your car. So that can take 11 hours, for example, to get a car fully charged up to 80%, to 80% or a full charge on something like a Mach-E, right? Mm-hmm. But then once you start getting to faster charge speeds, I think the Mustang Mach-E can take 150 kilowatts. Once you have charge times like that, so your charge is faster, it's like 20 times faster to charge your vehicle. And then that's when it starts looking like, if you're on the motorway and you pull over and you've got half a tank, you can, at that speed, pull over, go get a coffee, have a pee, and maybe not 5 minutes, but 15 minutes later, your car's got a decent charge in it. But the only thing is finding those chargers. And that's a big issue as well. And I remember saying that to the guys at Ford when they showed us the Mach-E. I was like, yeah, but what are you going to do about the network? And again, we say Tesla a lot because they are the kind of, not market leader, well, they are the market leader really, but they're the kind of guys that have got it right in terms of charging network. So what Ford have done is they've actually got Ford Pass. So you sign up to Ford Pass, you get an app, you can connect that to your car. And there's actually a network of chargers that are like Ford approved. And you can access them at preferential rate and get a charge. So you can actually plan your journey around your charges. So if you want to go to Inverness, you can look on the map, on the app, and it will say, right, Nick, you've got to stop off Manchester, get a charge here. You've got to stop off in Birmingham, get a charge here. So they're trying to make it easier for you. I know has that helped out a little bit, Nick, or is it still a bit like, meh, like?
It does help out, but I just feel like, for all the good that car companies are doing, you know, increasing the range, increasing the, battery capacity and all of that stuff, they're just let down by the network of chargers. There needs to be, I feel like for us to fully switch to electric cars, there needs to be a decent, because that's what puts me off. You know, if I was somebody who never really had to drive on the motorway or make long journeys and I was just in town, then it'd be cool. But the thing is, when you live in a city, in the UK anyway, and especially in London, they're trying to push you away from car ownership, whether it's petrol, diesel, or even electric. You know, they're trying to push you away from car ownership. Mm. So, you know, I think it's a bit, it's an interesting area for me because I like the idea of an electric car. I've driven quite a few electric cars. My favorite being, this is on a track day though, to be honest, not just on a random day.
Yeah.
I drove the BMW i8, which was like amazing. But I just think the strategy needs to be a bit more joined up because if the government would embrace fully car ownership, electric car ownership, if you live in a city, and then they made it more of an incentive to own an electric car in a city. I can only talk about London because it's where I live. So sorry if you don't live in London, but I still feel like there's pushback, even with electric cars, you know, like the cost of parking, for example. I know you don't necessarily have to pay, or I don't believe you pay congestion charge.
You don't.
You've got an electric car and stuff like that, which is good. But, you know, it still costs an absolute bomb to park in London. So you can't really drive to work, you know, unless you want to pay the extortionate, you know, parking charges and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's not, this is me just rambling on. It's not really an electric car issue. It's not up to the manufacturers to sort that. They're doing good stuff. And to be honest with you, I'm quite excited with what the manufacturers are doing. Predominantly kind of, you know, the Ford, it looks really good. And you've said it's really good, actually. There's a few actually that you've had, different ends of the spectrum and probably trying to target different people, but you also had the Honda, didn't you? The Honda
E,
which looked amazing because you managed to hook up you hooked up like a NES Mini to the screen and that, and you were playing like Mario Kart and that. I was like, this is sick.
I think with electric vehicles, one thing that people want to do is they want to make an impact with it. They want it to look futuristic. I think that's a big selling point. So the Honda E just looked future, and it had no wing mirrors, pack full of tech, screens everywhere. I think everyone's trying to make their impact in the industry. And to go back to what you said quickly, I totally understand how you feel, Nick, about, see, that I feel like the issue with electric vehicles in total across the world is infrastructure. I can just hear it in your voice. Like, the simple solution would be, Nick, there's a charger at the end of your road that will charge your car in 10 minutes, and we're going to make it cheaper for you to own an electric vehicle in the UK. And I think they're trying to do little things. So you get $3,000 back if you buy a car that's under 50K. You get discounted or free wall chargers from different service providers. I think Ford do something. I don't know if they install it for free, but I think it's a heavily subsidized wall box you get at your house. So if you do have a house and a drive, which means you're probably doing all right in life, having an electric car is a little bit cheaper than if you don't. So there is some work to be done there, but like, I feel like once they say, because we have a target here in the UK, like by 2030, they don't want us to be selling any fossil fuel powered cars, right?
Yeah.
So that's only 9 years away, bro. Like, it was it was the year 2000 a couple of weeks ago. Do you know what I mean? So when that happens, I think there's going to be a real period of, either it's going to be a period of where everyone's uncomfortable because there's not going to be enough chargers, or there's going to be a period of change where everyone's just rushing to get their electric vehicle. And then once all that's settled down, I think we'll be okay. But it's like when the new iPhone charger came out, right? Nobody had that lead when you went to their house. They had if you've got an old charger or the new charger, everyone's I've only got the old one. Now,
that
you
was just jokes.
Say, exactly, do you remember that? I used to roll with an adapter. But now you just say to somebody, yo, have you got an iPhone charger? They're like, yeah. It's like everyone expects you to have the smaller lightning cable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It becomes the industry standard, I guess.
Exactly. But yeah, Nick, the drive though, this car, the Mach-E, let me talk to you about this drive. I will say this with my chest wholeheartedly. At the start of 2021, easily the electric vehicle that turned the most heads.
Really?
Ever. Yeah, I drove. Yeah, it's a Mustang, bruv. It's a Mustang. I forgot I was driving a Ford. And that happens when you drive a Mustang, innit? Like, this car was Mustang and proud. And I'll talk to you why I think Ford did this in a second. I think it's so smart. But like, yeah, driving it around, when we shot this, we tried to go to a quiet place and shoot it so we could just get some nice angles out, anyone in the background. Disturbed a number of times. Excuse me, what is that? Like, what is that? Driving it around, saw people like tapping each other, looking at it, and I've only, the last time I had an experience like that probably was when I was driving a V8 Mustang top down during a warm day. Do you know what I mean?
Because
the noise it makes, people are just like, yeah, see what you're doing there, bro, rude boy. And like, when you're driving, like, and I realized when I last drove a Mustang, it was, when you look at the cost of that car, it was turning heads like it was a 180 grand car. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not, it's like 50, 60. And with the Mach-E, it starts at 40 grand and you're turning heads. Like, if I pulled up in a Mustang Mach-E at a beer garden, right, on a hot summer's day, that's going to turn way more heads than a Tesla. Facts. I feel like it's got a horse on it. It's got, like, presence. It's got the sick Mustang lights. And I just feel like it just looks, it looks different. And I clocked it. This is why Ford did it. This, because if they tried to make like the Mondeo E or the freaking, I don't know, the Ford Focus E as their like first introduction into the electric world, it would have a bit of impact. But nah, man, it needs to be, they need to like show that they really care about making 100%. A good electric vehicle.
Mate, you know what I mean? It's an iconic car, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, yeah, the Mustang. You know, when I went to America, I went to Miami, one of the things that I did, of course, rented a Mustang.
Standard.
You know what I mean? Standard. Driving down Ocean Drive, yeah, top down. Yellow. Right. And the thing is, at Miami Airport, it was sick, bro, because I landed and obviously I reserved a Mustang.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes. I just thought you get given what you're given, you know, yeah, like, yeah, when you, yeah, get there. So then I went to the car rental place and the guy was like, okay, cool, just go downstairs and speak to the guy and he'll sort out your car. So I went downstairs and then the guy was like, yeah, you can pick any one. It was just bare Mustangs. He was like, you can pick any one you want. So they had like black one, white one, yellow one, orange one, red one, grey one. Like, yeah. And then on top of that, they had yellow one with black seats, yellow one with cream sweet, yes, seats, like orange one. And I was just like, oh my God, I was there for ages. I was like, yeah, looking at them like, which one do I want? It's such a big decision.
Tell the truth, in your head, was it like you were listening to Fast and Furious music? You know that Tokyo Drifting song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. in the end, I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm in Miami. I'm in America. I'm going for the soft top yellow. That's where, yes, we're going. You know what I mean?
My guy. Yes, Nick. Come on.
So I just had to get the loudest one because I, yeah, thought, you know what? This is, I'm living the American dream, baby.
100%. You're a fool. If you told me that you went in there and was like, yeah, Marcus, I went for gunmetal gray, I'd be like, nah, bruv. Nice, obnoxious yellow. But yeah, man, like you know, like you said, the Mustang is iconic. Like, muscle. It's American muscle, you know. So the fact that they put that badge on the Mach-E made it interesting. Now, is the Mach-E a Mustang by nature? No, because it's not got the big roaring V8 engine. But is it a car that they've showed you that they care about by putting the Mustang badge on? 100%. Does it turn heads? 100%. The drive, it's an electric vehicle, so it's got a low center of gravity, Nick, and it goes. It's nippy. And it feels like a nice, solid drive. And I like driving Ford cars because they're easy to use as well. I mean, when you look at other vehicles like your Lexuses and your Hondas, they're cool, but they've got a lot of buttons that you need to press and quite complex ways of getting around things.
Yeah.
The Mach-E, you know, they've brought it up to the year 2021. You know, you've got your wireless charging, you've got your Apple CarPlay, you've got USBs all over the front and back, which you can plug in for yourself and your guests. And it's a decent whip, man. It's a decent whip. A couple of things that I'd tweak about it that I was a bit narky about. The parcel shelf at the back was a bit flimsy. It just like fell down a couple of times. It was a bit like, oh, come on, mate, put a bit of love into this. But I feel like whoever was in charge of doing the interior of the car, that probably wasn't the highest of their objectives when it came to making the inside of the car nice. It's at the front, it's got a frunk, Nick. So because it's got no engine in there, there's space for you to have more storage, which is nice. It'd be nice if you could adjust it a bit though, because it's kind of got these fixed compartments in it where you can't take them out. I'd love to like just put what I want in there. It just looks rude, man. I only had it for like 2 days. We shot it, took a few pictures. This was the one I was like, oh, what can I drop off to Nick's house? What can we kill an hour with so I can just drop it off to Nick's house and show him the whip?
But yeah, I didn't see you, bro. You know, again, had this lovely car. didn't even want to come and see, you know? Didn't even want to come and see me. But on a real, actually, it, you know, the reason they slapped the Mustang badge on there and the reason why the car is important to them is because manufacturers realise that, yeah, this is the future of, yeah, you know, the future of cars,
yeah,
you know, it's a fact not even in that far in the future. You know, fossil fuel cars will be a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. You know, like even in our lifetime, for example, Marcus, I don't know if you can remember 4-star petrol. There used to be at a petrol station, there used to be a black pump for diesel,
yeah,
a green pump for unleaded, which is what we got now, and then there used to be a red pump,
yeah,
which was 4-star. And I remember that's what my dad's cars were all 4-star when I was growing up. And now 4-star's gone, it don't exist.
What was it?
I think it's leaded.
Was it all okay? Oh, so that was the one, because clearly not good for your health to have that around. Yeah.
All right, so it's cool. I mean, I could be wrong on that, so don't come for me if so. Yeah. But I think, you know, that's what it was. So,
yeah.
You know, already we've seen that eradicated. And the next thing to go, it's weird because obviously we were all pushed towards diesel, weren't we? It's like diesel's the future, diesel. And now they've gone, oh, actually diesel's quite bad.
Yeah.
So get unleaded instead. But in the future they'll be gone as well, and it will all be electric.
Fascinating, you know? To know that we're part of the generation that we're probably the last generations, should we say, now to be able to drive a petrol vehicle and enjoy it. And maybe, like, because I think what's going to happen is a lot of people think that petrol cars are going to be like criminalized. I think it's going to go the opposite direction. They're going to become more of a novelty. Like, so having a Mustang in 20 years time, in 2040, you'll be like, oh, look, he's got one of those old school petrol cars. Do you know, like when you see someone pulling up in like a car that was made in 1910
and
it does like a quarter of a mile to the gallon
with one of those like horns that's like
exactly pissing smoke out the side of it, and it's not even gone anywhere. People, you don't have animal right, eco right activists chasing him down. People are like, oh, look at that, look what cars he's in. Bless him. Do you get me? He's there, people having asthma attacks, coughing next to him. You're like, oh, bless him, cute.
Yeah, but that'll be someone with a Golf Mark One or exactly, you know, like you say,
exactly,
Mustang.
People are like, Dad, why is that electric vehicle making all that noise? Well, son, it's actually got a fire inside it. What? Yeah, there's an explosion happening inside it with this thing called petrol, which is a highly explosive liquid, and they're setting fire to it to make it go forward. People will be like, what the fuck? You lot were nutters. You drove around bombs all day long. Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting. So yeah, man, long story short, and this is editorial, this is not no advert from Ford. Nick, I'm not going to lie, mate. If I had 40K sitting there and wanted to get an electric car and I wanted to just not look like everyone else, I think the Mucky's the way I go, you know, bro. And I have had genuine people saying, I want to get an electric vehicle. What is the Mucky saying? I've had a few questions in my DMs asking me about this car. People are seriously considering it. Do you know what I mean? And I think with the Ford network that they've set up, the Ford Pass network, that could help you get around the anxiety of charging. But if you got room for a home charger, you're wicked. Nick, with these cars as well, you know, you get like a really long extension lead, which has just got the regular plug that goes into your socket at home. So if I was like rolling past your house, Nick, I could just pull up outside yours. Oh, Nick, give us a bit of a charge, please, mate. I'm struggling.
I'll be like, you're going to contribute towards the electric bill, Marcus? Because if not, then I'm afraid not. You wouldn't just come to my place and be like, can you give me 10 quid for petrol? You know what I mean? Facts.
Straight facts, man. Do you know what, Nick? I think that's pretty much what we've been killing time with this week. But you know what? We're pretty much coming up on an hour of the show. So I think we should wrap it up here at the moment, man. What have you got coming up that we can talk about? I saw you do some stuff for Red Bull recently.
Yeah, so I've been doing these series of podcasts for Red Bull. It got confusing because I'm doing two. I'm doing one called Beyond the Ordinary, where it's like me talking to lots of different Red Bull athletes about their careers, why they're so amazing. You know, we spoke to a guy called Carlin Isles, who is an American rugby player, which is mad, because obviously you'd think if you've got the skills to play rugby and you're American, you'd play in the NFL. But he was scouted by the Detroit Lions and he decided that he wanted to play rugby instead because he just loved it. And he's actually the fastest rugby player in the world. So because he before he started doing rugby, he was in the USA track and field team. So decided he wanted to go into rugby, and we have a conversation with him. So that's called Beyond the Ordinary. And I've got another one with an England rugby player called Jack Knoll, called Decoding Athletes. And that's kind of all about Jack's career as an elite level rugby player, but also we get some of his teammates on, we get some other athletes on, like Katie Ormerod comes on that, who's a Olympic snowboarder and one of the best from Great Britain. We have a laugh on it. It's not about, you know, that one there is really not about sport or rugby. It's just about us shooting the shit, essentially, and then sport is kind of tagged onto it. So yeah, if you want to listen to any of those, you can find them on redbull.com or the usual place that you get your podcasts from.
Might check that out. Sounds like How to Kill an Hour, but like,
yeah, I was about sport. To say, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know where to get your podcast from, so great, just search it.
Yeah, man, wicked. Oh, that's good stuff, man. Yeah, I've seen some clips on social media, actually, Nick. I will make sure I check it all out. Looks like you got the recording set up looking good as well. Looking very pro.
So So for the, I've actually moved since I've recorded that though, believe it or not. So that's the Coding Athletes one you're on about. So for that, because it's a visual podcast as well, and because we're in lockdown and nobody's allowed to come near anybody, he was down in, so Jack Knoll lives in Cornwall. So he was down there at his, you know, at his, he's got a gym in his back garden and he was just in his gym. But I was in my living room and obviously it was done through Zoom, and Red Bull had to send me a massive rig and I had to like set it all up myself. So I had this like lighting rig with like four lights on it. And then I had to sort out all the mics that, well, there's only one mic, but I had to like have the mic so it looked good. I essentially had to set up like a little bit of a studio myself, which, to be honest with you, was quite fun, but equally I'd quite have enjoyed it if somebody was there to do it for me.
Yeah, and it's then one of those ones, yeah.
Like packing it down afterwards was the biggest pain, you know, like when you finish you just want to be like done, but like obviously to finish and then like pack up all of this kit and just, you know, what's mad is when Red Bull said they were going to send me some stuff, you know, I thought, because I've got my own stuff, I've got these little lights. I'm holding one right now and it's like I can hold it in the palm of my hand, you know, and it easily does enough to illuminate my face and blah blah blah. So I thought they'd just be sending something like that. And then this stuff arrived, a big like van arrived outside the house, and I'm like, this can't all be for me. And then just box after box after box of stuff came in, and I was like, what is my housemate who I lived with at the time, she was like, what the hell is all of this? So I was thinking, oh my god, this is mad. And the thing is, I didn't end up using most of it. I just ended up using the lights, and that's it, because they went over the top with it. But the product looks good, so that's all that matters.
Have you got these lights lying around now?
No, I had to send them back to a courier. They were the ones that are kind of like LED panels, but they're floppy, if you know what I mean. So they're not like hard. They're not like old school kind of, you know, ones that you had to rig from the ceiling. They can fit on like a tripod and stuff like that. It was pretty nice to have the professional looking setup in the living room at the time, I'm not going to lie, but wouldn't have been able to keep it in there full time because it meant that my housemate was unable to watch TV in the evening. So I felt a bit harsh. But that is the way of the Zoom world we live in now.
We're just zooming towards that kind of future, Nick. Do you know what I mean?
I can't wait for it to be over, to be fair. It'd be nice to be able to come into the How to Kill an Hour studio and do an episode there.
Yeah, do you know what's mad? Like, we just used to roll up to each other, spud each other, shake hands. You know what I mean?
Shoot the shit, you know, all of that. Yeah,
and then now it's like, I think the first time I like grab someone, handshake, and you know when you do that thing where you just bring them in, spud them, slap them on the back a little bit. That's super intimate now.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? It's like, cause back in the day, we would like, where your studio is, there's like a canteen cafe thing there as well. So, you know, we would go and eat some food in there. Now, if you wanted to go and eat food, it's like you got to get a hazmat suit, mate, you know, just to sit in there.
Absolutely crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. All right, man. Well, look, Nick, I'll make sure I put links to that new pod in the show description, and thanks for joining us on How to Kill an Hour, man. Let's get you back on sooner than later. I'm definitely under some pressure to get some tech to you, and also you want to be on the first plane out of here by
exactly
the things.
Yeah, so make sure you make that happen when you got a shoot out of the country, you know, even if you just need someone to carry some kit. Give me a shout.
Well, you know how to do the lights now anyway, don't you?
Exactly.
Right, so where can we find you on social media, Nick?
At Nick Bright on Insta is probably the best place to get at me.
Okay. Are you doing TikToks yet? Are you TikToking?
I'm not, bro, I've had a look at TikTok and I'm just like, I'm too old for this shit, you know. Like, I don't want to be a granddad on TikTok trying to look cool. So I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna give that one a miss.
Do you know what, I'm doing TikTok, but I'm not, I refuse. I'm not dancing on the timeline like a bad
bee. I can't wait to see Marcus doing the savage dance, you know, or whatever the cool one is now.
The silhouette one. Should I do the silhouette one? Swinging.
The silhouette challenge.
Silhouette challenge. No, I'm not doing that, man. I'm at Marcus Bronzy on all social medias. We're at How to Kill an Hour as well. If you want full specs and stats or any of the tech we spoke about on the show, please make sure you check the links in the show description. And yeah, man, thank you for killing some time with us.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.